My name is Josh Drury. I'm the youth director here at Rock Hill, and I just want to say thank you for being here for our yearly Youth Sunday. This is such a fun time for me and the youth group to be here to serve you and to hopefully glorify God. And it's just such a good reminder that our youth group, that the youth of our church are a crucial and important part of this church. And today we're continuing our series going through the book of John, and we're going to be talking about the story of the woman at the well, and I wanted to present today's passage in a way that really brings it to life, because I think this is just a really good reminder that these stories we're reading in the Bible and in the book of John, these were real people having real conversations. We're reading history here. So right now, I'm going to bring up three of our youth group students, Nora, Eli, and Alex, and they are going to do our scripture reading for us this morning.
Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So when he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?"
For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock."
Jesus said to her,
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water."
Jesus said to her,
"Go, call your husband and come here."
The woman said to him,
"I have no husband."
Jesus said to her,
"You are right in saying that, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship."
Jesus said to her,
"Woman, believe me, for the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. We will worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is now, when the worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and the truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God's spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
The woman said to him,
"I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things."
Jesus said to her,
"I who speak to you am he."
Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with the woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people,
"Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?"
They went out of the town and were coming from him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them,
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them,
"My food is to do one of him and sent me to accomplish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white with harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering the fruit of eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
He told me all that I ever did.
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast.
Awesome job, guys. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. God, thank you that these stories of Jesus and his interactions actually happened. God, and that they made huge impacts back then, but they continue to impact us today. Lord, would you speak to us? Would your spirit move right now? And will we be reminded or even discover for the first time that Jesus is the living water that we all need and that we all thirst for? Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to raise your hand if you have ever run a marathon. Who's gonna run? Anybody doing grandmas this year? Cool. I see you. See you guys. Even if you haven't run a marathon before, I want you to picture and imagine running all those miles. Now imagine that you're in the Twin Cities, so it's actually hot out, okay? Like 90 degrees. You're running and running, and you're drenched in sweat. You're in so much pain. You got the side ache going on, and your throat is just so dry and parched. You're starting to lose hope that you will ever reach the end of this marathon. And then, up in the distance, you see something coming towards you. Those who have ran marathons know what I'm talking about. You see these things. Yeah, we know. The water station. It's time for the water station. Volunteers are handing out these little water cups filled with ice cold water. You crash, you stumble, you crash into the table. You're so tired. You grab two of the water cups. You just dump one on yourself because that feels good. And you drink deeply of the crisp and cold water. It's exactly what you need. Right, your thirst is quenched and satisfied, and as you turn from that table, you just feel a new sense of motivation and energy. I can do this. My thirst has been quenched, and I can finish the race. So with a new sense of purpose and energy, you take off, and you finish the last part of the race, and you get to the finish line. Congratulations, you did it. I give that example to start off our conversation because this morning we're talking about thirst. You see, in John 4, Jesus has a conversation with the woman at the well, and he talks to her about thirst and what it truly means to be satisfied. Jesus tells the woman that people are running this race of life and that we are all thirsty. And that the water that we truly need is the living water that can only be found in Jesus. And that when you drink from that water, you will be satisfied. And you will even have the energy and the purpose to finish the race of life, living a higher calling, living for God. And we've heard this story in an awesome way by our teens here. So what I want you to do is we're just going to kind of go through it together. So if you have your Bible on your phone or in front of you, turn to John 4. And one of the main phrases that I'm going to use this morning, you can write it down if you want, is that Jesus brings true satisfaction. Jesus brings true satisfaction. As we talk about what Jesus is offering this woman, Jesus is talking about quenching our thirst and how he brings true satisfaction. You see, true satisfaction is something that every human being is searching for. Raise your hand if you want to be satisfied, right? Everybody in this room. If you desire to come to a place in your life where you have finally found what your heart desires, something that brings you joy, purpose, and hope. But the problem with humanity, as all of us can attest to, is that every single human being on earth at some point, maybe today, is looking to be satisfied by something that will never truly satisfy them. We all have something in our lives right now that we can believe in some sense that that thing will satisfy us, that it will make us happy, that it will solve the problems in our lives. And I need to tell you right now that it won't. That you will at some point be let down and disappointed if you choose to put your hope in something other than Jesus. If you get that job that you're praying for, you will not be satisfied fully. If you get that house you want, you will not have the peace you think that will bring. If you marry the person that you love, you're gonna argue a little bit, maybe more than that, who knows? If you gain the influence that you're hoping to gain, that platform will never satisfy you. And there are so many examples of this. But the point of our message is that true satisfaction is only found in Jesus Christ. And that's a promise that I can make to you right now. So the woman at the well comes across this interaction with Jesus in a way that we all find ourselves at times in life. Looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. John tells us that she was at the well in the middle of the day and that Jesus came up to her. It also says that Jesus was weary from his journey. So Jesus was tired and he was thirsty. Jesus tells the woman at the well, "Give me a drink." And what does she do? We read that she questions him. And she says, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" See, right away, this woman has this feeling of, he's not talking to me, is he? You know, as if she didn't feel herself to be worthy of being talked to by a man, let alone a Jewish man who is not from the area. And as we go through this passage, we're going to be covering how the living water that Jesus offers us satisfies the broken and the thirsty parts of us. And the first part of us that it satisfies is our need for acceptance. So I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, that Jesus satisfies your thirst for acceptance. And that's a big phrase, so I'll explain what I mean by that. You see, all of us have a deep desire to be loved, to be seen, and to be chosen. That's why so many of us look to be satisfied in things like relationships, work positions, sex, influence, social media, and more. Because we want someone to fully accept us for who we are. But the thing is that no relationship and no position and no influence will ever make you happy and satisfied. That's why so many of us walk around our daily lives telling ourselves over and over, "I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I have not arrived yet. I'm not there yet." Because we have not been accepted in the way that we want to be accepted in. And the woman at the well was in a very similar spot. Some say that she was at the well in the middle of the day, at the hottest part of the day, in order to escape the crowd because of her reputation and her past. She wanted to blend in and not be seen by others because of her shame and her reputation. And part of how Jesus starts to show acceptance to her is just the fact that he is talking to her. Like, that part is shocking enough. There was an extreme divide between Jews and the Samaritans. And just the fact that Jesus, a Jewish man, asks this woman, a Samaritan, for water, just that alone was a culture-shaking thing. Jesus then responds to her, asking about why he's asking her, and he responds with his own offer of water. He says to the woman, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So Jesus skips all the small talk. There's no talk of the weather right now. He's talking about God and he's offering something extremely amazing. So the woman then asks Jesus where he would get the living water that he's talking about. Now let's read verses 11 through 15. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do we get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me that water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. So Jesus describes this living water that would cause someone to never be thirsty again. And the woman responds in the only reasonable way by saying, sir, give me that water. Makes sense. Of course, everyone would want water like that. Jesus then dives deeper, addressing the woman's life and revealing a deeper truth about the living water that he offers us. After asking for the living water, Jesus tells her to go call her husband and then come back. The woman answers him, I have no husband. Jesus responds, you are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man that you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Guys, Jesus is really good at getting right to the heart of people. Jesus was able to see the pain point in this woman's life. Jesus was doing this in order to point out her need for true satisfaction, but also he points this out to show her who he truly was. Right? Who else would know of all her previous relationships, all the pain she went through? Especially a Jewish man who did not live in the area. And there's also this sense of Jesus satisfying our thirst for acceptance here, in that Jesus tells her about this living water and essentially offers it to her, even though he already knows her deepest sins, regrets, and pains, proving that she is not too far gone for this living water. See, it was probably a pretty normal occurrence for this woman to be rejected the second that people found out about her private life and her past. That's why she chose to keep it private. But the fact that Jesus already knew this about her, and he still chose to walk up to a Samaritan woman and tell her about the salvation that could only be found in him, that's incredible. It was already controversial that he was talking to a woman, even more so a Samaritan woman, and even more so because of her reputation and past. Yet he still chooses to offer it to her. Later in the passage, we see that Jesus tells her, I who speak to you am he, when she asks about the Messiah. This is interesting because this is the first time in the book of John that Jesus says straight up that he is the Messiah in this way. And Jesus had disciples, followers, religious leaders. We just saw his conversation with Nicodemus. And the first one that he chooses to tell straight up that he is the Messiah is a broken woman who has come to the well in the middle of the day because she is too ashamed to come out at a more popular hour. Jesus is incredible. So when I say that Jesus satisfies your thirst for acceptance, I'm not saying that Jesus will let you do whatever you want or that Jesus approves of your sin. What I mean by that is that Jesus is the only one who truly sees you, who truly knows you, and can truly save you. We try to be satisfied by people and positions that will never truly know us, see us, or save us. And Jesus does all three. What does this mean? Right? This means that you are never too far gone for the love of God. It means that no matter what you have done, like literally no matter what you've done, Jesus has living water that he offers you. And that living water is himself and what he did for you on the cross, the salvation that Jesus brought into this broken world. God does not discriminate. God does not have favorites. He just has sons and daughters, and he wants to be your father. He offers living water because Jesus satisfies your thirst for acceptance. The next thing Jesus satisfies that I want us to look at is that Jesus satisfies your thirst for purpose. You can write that down if you want. Jesus satisfies your thirst for purpose. As a youth director, so much of what teenagers struggle with is the question of what is my purpose? Why am I alive? And they don't just struggle with it in their teen years, but human beings struggle with this question their entire lives. This woman had an incredible change of purpose after she had this encounter with Jesus. She starts this encounter worried about being out at a certain time and anxious about who would talk to her. And how does it end? Let's go back and read that part, 27 through 30. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking to a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" So the woman left her water jar and went into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Later on in the passage, we also get this part in verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony that he told me all that I ever did. So this woman had a total shift in life purpose just because Jesus told her and offered her living water and showed her that he truly knew her, saw her, and could save her. We know this because it says that after their conversation, the woman left her water jar. The reason she even came to the well that day was to draw water. So this is a symbolic meaning of her leaving everything behind in order to step into a new purpose. What's her new purpose? Verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him, believed in Jesus, because of the woman's testimony that he told me all that I ever did. Her new purpose was to tell her testimony to everyone who she came into contact with. See, you can't truly meet Jesus without being changed by Jesus in some way. She goes from her jar, leaving the life behind, and starts to tell everyone about Jesus, the man who told me all I ever did. And the interesting and cool thing about this is that a lot of the people in that area probably did know what she did in terms of her past. So her proclaiming this, that a man told me all that I ever did, is her saying that despite her past, she's now taking that scarred part of her life and using it as her testimony. See, some of you in this room have an incredible testimony of how Jesus satisfied your thirst for purpose, of how you were pursuing things that could never satisfy you, or you had addictions that left you always feeling broken and beat up. But Jesus met you, and he changed you, and he gave you living water, and now you're walking out life with him. And if you have that testimony, I need you to tell that story. Please encourage us with your testimony of how Jesus gave you living water. You see, without Jesus, the purposes that we chase are meaningless in the long run. The things that we think are going to make us happy will not. The things that you tell yourself that you need, you don't. What you need, and I need you to hear me, what you need and what you are truly looking for is a life where you meet and follow Jesus. Jesus is the living water. He is the one who will cause you to never be thirsty again. The purpose that you are made for is to be with God. But because of the fall and because of sin, you have been separated from God. I want you to look up at the screens, at this beautiful bald eagle here. And I want you to imagine a bald eagle whose wings have been clipped, which means it cannot fly anymore. Sad. And every time this bald eagle goes outside and walks around, it looks up to the sky and it feels a longing deep inside of it to feel the air under its wings, the drafts of wind lifting its body up as it soars. But this eagle will never get to experience what an eagle was made to do. It was made to flap its wings and fly. And this eagle is stuck on the ground. You see, you were made to be with God. That is your true purpose in this life. But sin has clipped our wings. Sin has kept us away from our true purpose in life. But Jesus restores. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish and would have eternal life. The gospel restores our true purpose and turns us into the people who we were made to be, created to be. Without God, you are not who you were supposed to be. Hear me. You are not who you're supposed to be. And without God, you will always feel empty, and you will always have a void in your life. A void that you will try to satisfy and you will try to quench with everything that you could ever imagine, but it will never be enough for you. It will never satisfy you because you were made to be with God. You are made to soar with God. And you can only be restored to God by believing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus satisfies your thirst for purpose, and we see that play out in the story. The woman shares her testimony, and what does it say? It says that many Samaritans from that town believed in him, believed in Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. He told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Her testimony caused many to believe, but it also caused many to go and see Jesus for themselves. Does your life and your testimony point people to the reality and the person of Jesus? Because part of this purpose that we have is to share the gospel with other people, to do the will of your Father in heaven. After the interaction Jesus has with this woman, Jesus has this conversation with his disciples where he points to this reality. Let's read 31 through 38. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." So his disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest?' Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into that labor. So Jesus says to his disciples that it is his food, right? The thing that truly satisfies his hunger is to do the will of God and to accomplish the work of God. Right, what would happen if Christians viewed their purpose in life in that way? That would be amazing. What's your purpose, man? My purpose is to do God's will and do his work. That's awesome. Jesus then tells his disciples that the time to do this is now, that the fields are white for harvest, that it's time to reap, that if you are a follower and a believer in Jesus, it is time for you to walk out your purpose to make disciples of all nations. It's time for you to do the will of God and do his work. It's time for you to take the testimony that God has given you of how you were saved and how you discovered the living water that causes you to never thirst again. And it's time for you to share that story and that testimony with others. It's time for you to leave your water jar behind. Leave your old life behind and step into your new purpose, advancing the mission of Jesus and doing the will of God. It's time. And it's time because Jesus satisfies your thirst for purpose. So as we start to get to the end of this tonight, this morning, as we wrap up our time in John 4, the application and the overall theme of this story is simple to understand, but super hard to apply to our own lives. Because we as people all look to be satisfied with things that can never fully satisfy us. And if you feel like I'm saying that a lot, it's because I am. Because this is the main point, and we need to get this in our heads, guys. Every single person in this room has at one point or another, maybe now, put their faith in something that will let them down every time. We can only be satisfied in the living water of Jesus. Please stop drinking from the wrong well. You aren't getting living water from there. You're getting nasty, gross toilet water from there. Water that will cause you to never be quenched. Living water from Jesus will cause you to never be thirsty again. So take this as an encouragement, but also as a warning from the bottom of my heart. Think about that question. What water are you drinking? What are you putting your hope in? What are you looking to be your satisfaction? What are you telling yourself, if this happens, I'll be happy, or if this continues, I'll be set? If it's not Jesus, it will never quench the thirst that you have. It will never fill the void. We all have something in our life that we're believing will satisfy us. This is something I've struggled with my whole life, and I think we would all say that as well. I've set myself up for failure and disappointment every single time when I have something new coming up. I say, once I get there, I'll be good. Here are just some examples from my own life. This is a little funny, but also just real. Because we come to these things in our lives and we put too much power in them. Here's just a chronological kind of story of my life going through some things that I thought would satisfy me. Starting young, okay? If I just get that girl to like me, I will be satisfied. Doesn't work. If I just stop sinning in certain ways, I'll finally be there. If I just get into that college, if I just get a scholarship on that cross-country team, if I just graduate from that college, if I just marry this super attractive girl named Ashley, that one happened. If I just get my dream job at Rock Hill Community Church, if I just get a house in the country with some land, if I just have some kids and start my family, if I just get in better shape, if the Timberwolves win the finals, I'll get back to you on that. I'll let you know if that satisfies, if it happens. It's not looking good. We'll see. Don't put your hope in that. If I just get there, if this just happens, then I'll be set. And it never, ever works. it always, always, always lets you down. Jesus will never let you down. And I think the hardest part of all of this is when it comes to good things and blessings. Because I'm going to be honest with you, it's super easy for me to walk up here and say to you that you will never find satisfaction in a bottle or in a drug or in sex or in position. But it's a lot harder for me to walk up here and tell you that you will not find total satisfaction even in good things, even in things that you are praying for, even in things that God blesses you with. You might finally get that baby that you've been praying for years. You might finally go into the doctor and see that that diagnosis you've been fighting is clear and you're healed. You might finally restore and see healing in that relationship with your father that's been so hard. And those are beautiful and amazing and wonderful things, and they're blessings if held in the right way. But even those things, we can't put all of our hope in. And even those miracles pale in comparison to the living water that only comes from Jesus Christ. And I think we're also led to believe that we will be satisfied when we obey the will of God. As if following God's commands for our lives will fix all the hard things that we have and the longings we have and the thirsts that we have. Sometimes we think, if I just say yes to God in this hard thing, it will solve everything. He'll bless everything. All the pain will be gone. It doesn't work, right? Guys, some of you in this room know our story as a family. But last year, the Lord told me and my wife to adopt, told us to do from foster care. And it's exactly what God called us to do. And life is so hard right now. It's so hard. Life is so much harder than it was before we started walking in the will that God had for our family. And that's a hard pill to swallow. But it's true. Because there's a part of me that has struggled in this hard season. And I've said over and over to God, God, why would you tell us to do something that was going to be so hard to do? Why would you lead us somewhere that was going to be full of pain and heartache? And the answer that God keeps giving me is something like this. Your job, Josh and all of us, your job is to obey and to trust me. And my job is to give you a drink of living water. My job is to satisfy you. My job is to restore you by the blood of my son, Jesus. And guys, I love my family more than anything in this world. And it's not because God made everything perfect when we obeyed his command to adopt our new son and daughter. But it's because I'm a child of God. And the place that I go when I am weak and broken and tired is to the feet of Jesus, to drink of the living water that only comes from his hands. And that's my desire for every single person in this room. And that's what this is all about. That's what this whole life is about. So I want you to ask yourself today, we all have this thirst. Where are you going to get that thirst quenched? Where are you going for your satisfaction? And I promise you right now, if it is not the feet of Jesus, you will never be satisfied. But if it is to the feet of Jesus, you will never be thirsty again. Let's pray. Dear God, this is why they call the gospel good news. Lord, all of us here are thirsty, and so often we're looking to be quenched and satisfied by things that will never satisfy us, that will let us down every time. So God, right now, I just pray in the name of Jesus, would you fill us with your living water? God, would you save people this morning? Would you help people to realize their need for you? And God, ultimately, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you sent your son Jesus, the living water, to solve the problem that we can never solve by ourselves. Thank you, God. Would we all drink deeply of living water this morning? We love you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.